As an introduction to our message this morning, we are on a series talking about the tools of Satan. And we have two places in the Bible that talk about Satan's origin and how he fell. This morning we read in Isaiah chapter 14 about Satan's fall. And if we could, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Now that's kind of easy to remember. 2 times 14 is 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, we have another record in the scripture of Satan and his fall. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, it says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub." Now, in the Bible, we know about cherubim, but that is the Hebrew plural for cherub. Okay? And so, Satan was one of the cherubim in heaven. The Bible says he was the anointed cherub. In other words, he had been given a very special task in heaven. The Bible tells us that Satan, as Lucifer, was covered with precious stones. The apparent purpose of the covering of Satan at that time is not Satan, but was to reflect the glory of God. And we know in the Bible the cherubim protect the holy presence of God. But Satan, before he fell, was covered with all these precious stones. And it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." And remember in the Bible, the cherubim are pictured as having wings, and they covered the holy, the mercy seat. They covered the presence of God. The Bible tells us that in verse 13, "Thy pipes, thy tabrets, and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Satan was created perhaps to lead the music in heaven. To musical instruments here, tabrets and pipes, speak of his role of leading the worship of God in heaven. And so it gives us insight as to why Satan is very, very, very much involved in music today. And in his original creation, he was meant to lead the worship of God. In his rebellion against God, he is the prime instigator of using music to cause men to rebel against God. And that is still true today. If you do any serious study of modern music and music groups, they are very much involved with drugs, and the word sorcery in the Bible is the word pharmakia, in other words, drug-related, and music, drugs, rebellion, all those things go together. And certainly you look at all the symbols of rock music, and it's just full of satanic symbols. Now, the Bible tells us that Satan was, verse 14, upon the holy mountain of God. And he walked in the midst of the brilliant stones in heaven. And the Bible tells us that in a new heaven and a new earth, the streets will be made of gold. Those precious stones are just a mere reflection of how great God is. And the Bible tells us, verse 15, thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created. Satan was a created angelic being, and till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 17, it says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Isn't it amazing that some of the most gifted people in the world, instead of thanking God for their gifts, are like Satan? Forget that they were made by God and use their gifts as though they themselves were to be given credit for them. And so, the Bible gives us these thoughts about Satan's beginning. If you go to Isaiah 14, where we were this morning, we find the sin of Satan. We do not find the sin of Satan as much given in Ezekiel 28 as clearly presented in Isaiah 14. In Isaiah 14, it tells us the sin of Satan. Verse 12, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. And the word Lucifer means day star. Son of the morning, how thou art cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Very interesting. the sides of the north. The Bible makes it clear that heaven is in the north. And, of course, that's where Santa Claus supposedly comes from. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. What was Satan's sin? Pride. The sin of pride is Satan's focus, main sin. We are talking about the tools of Satan. Let me ask a question. If pride was Satan's number one sin, don't you think he's good at it? Don't you think he's good at it? Now we're going to go to Genesis 3 today, and we're going to see Satan's third tool, and that tool is the tool of pride. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, and here we have Satan, who's indwelling this this serpent, now approaching Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we notice that he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Immediately he is causing a question to be made of God and what God has said. And it doesn't take much to figure that out, that Satan is all about attacking God and his holiness and his perfectness. And it's a continued tactic of Satan today cause doubt and questioning of the character of God. And he said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Why can't you eat of them all? Why can't you eat of them all? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Of course, Eve is already beginning to twist it. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, that's a lie. Because everybody's going to die, aren't they? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know what? Everyone is going to have to deal with this very terrible reality that everyone has sinned. An agnostic can say, well, I don't know if there's a God. That doesn't escape the fact that they are going to have to answer for their sin. Now, verse 5, for God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See the connection? I will be like the Most High. That's what Satan said. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend above the stars of heaven. And he said to Adam and Eve, to Eve, you can become like God. In fact, you can be just as good as God. You can know good and evil. Here we find the common tool of Satan, the tool of pride. Now, if you go to Matthew 4, you'll see that when Satan is tempting Jesus, he uses this tool of pride, the same way. In verse 5, the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you're the Son of Man, and you are, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now notice, what is he saying to the Lord Jesus? Now if you jump, before you hit the ground, the angels will rescue you. And people will say, ah, look it, this is the Son of God. And they will worship you. What is he appealing to? The pride of applause. the pride of human acceptance. By a shortcut. Don't go to the cross. Don't die for man's sin. And in turn get legitimate worship. Get illegitimate worship. Get to the top the easy way. Because that's all that counts, is the applause of men. He's appealing to the pride, using pride to appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we want to think about this. Pride. Pride. You know, Adam and Eve, God, there is a better plan for your life. There is a better plan for your life. You think that you want to spend the rest of your life just obeying God? You want to spend the rest of your life just submitting to God and doing what God says? Don't you think there's a better plan than that? Why would you spend the rest of your lives submitting to God? Why would you do that? God says, don't eat that. You're going to spend the rest of your life submitting to God? You're going to be a little nobody and spend the rest of your life submitting to God? Why don't you take your life into your own hands? Why don't you use your brains and make your own decisions? Why would you want to be under God's authority the rest of your life? Why don't you go for a better plan? Why don't you go for this better future? Don't you want to have a better future than being under God's authority? Take your life into your own hands. Be free from this authority over your life. Be free from this God who is holding you down. Take your life into your own hands. Use your brains. Make your own decisions. Take that fruit and you will have a great future. You'll be just as smart, if not smarter than God. Every aspect of this temptation is got a subtle root of pride. A subtle root of pride. Don't you see it? This pride that stirs a person's independence. Be your own man. Ever heard that before? Be your own man. Ever heard that before? Hey, think for yourself. Don't be under this God and his thinking. Think for yourself. Make for yourself a better plan. Isn't that right? Isn't that the world is saying? Why will you submit to God? Isn't it interesting? The Bible says submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. You see, the pride of Satan is rooted in this idea of independence, lack of submission, running from authority, independence, a better way. You know, we have some instances in the Bible of Satan working. And we don't know all the answers, but I'm just wondering if what was going through the minds of these people that Satan influenced. Turn with me to Luke 22. In Luke chapter 22, we find Judas. Now, you know, Judas is the one who betrayed the Lord and led the chief priest to that very private spot where Jesus was praying, and so that the Lord Jesus could be delivered into the hands of the Pharisees and Sadducees so he could be killed, because that's why he came, to die. But they didn't have that purpose. They had the purpose of getting rid of him. But in Luke 22, it says, "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." Now, I was thinking about this. You ever read the list of the disciples? You know, every one of the lists starts at the top and goes to the bottom. You notice that? It always starts with Peter. You have Peter, James, John. It's a list of prominence and importance and significance. And who's always last? Judas. What do you think about Judas being last? Did he deserve to be last? Was that who he was? Do you like to be last? Do you like to be last? Now that's who it was. Now, we do know that Judas was the treasurer, and he was a thief. You know that. So, that's part of it. But notice a couple other things. When he went to the Pharisees and sat, now, did the Pharisees and Sadducees have a good opinion of Jesus and the disciples? What do you think? No. You know what? If you're not a real believer, how do you like the world making fun of you? How would you like it? I'm just wondering. You know, Judas was last in line. Judas probably had, he may have had image problem. You know what I mean? That's a real psychological term, just another phrase for sin. But he had a self-image problem. You know why? Because he's a crook. He ought to have a self-image problem, right? But you know, if you go to a psychologist, they would say, oh, this is really bad. We got to fix this. But anyway. So he goes to the chief priests and Pharisees, and remember, Satan had entered into him. Remember, Satan had said to Jesus, you know, if you had jumped down and the angels would catch you, you'd get the applause of the people, wouldn't you? Right? I wondered if Satan didn't tell Judas, you know what? Instead of the Pharisees and Sadducees thinking you're a jerk because you're associated with Jesus, wouldn't it be great if they really thought you were something? Wouldn't it be great instead of being the nobody to be the top? Wouldn't it be great instead of being the last place because that's who you really are, and having someone come and pat you on the back? Right? Are we talking about pride here? Huh? Are we talking about pride here? Is Satan's tool pride? You know what? You don't like being the last in the list. Come on. Be number one. Be number one. And you know what? He said to Jesus, you can be number one by an illegitimate means. Not by going to the cross and dying for man's sin, but by jumping down and getting the angels to catch you and get the people's applause. Satan entered into him. Pride. 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 Now turn your Bible to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter 21. Am I in the right spot? I am in the spot I said, but this is not the right spot. Wait a minute, maybe it's the next chapter. Oh. Let's try 2 Kings. Wait a minute. 1 Chronicles. Let's try that. 1 Chronicles. That's it. First Chronicles 21. Very interesting statement. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord made his people 100 times so many as they be, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Job. Wherefore, Job departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Satan provoked David to number the people. Verse 5, and Job gave the sum of the number of the people unto Job, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew the sword. 1,100,000 soldiers. Why would it be important to know how many soldiers you have? Why would it be important to know that? And why would the general Joab say, no, don't do this. Don't do this. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But I will trust in the name of the Lord. What was Satan seeking to do? I think it again was the sin of pride. Self-reliance versus God-reliance. How much money do I have in the bank? How much of this do I have? Whatever. Self-reliance versus God-reliance. Is that not pride? The king wanted to boast himself how many soldiers he had. Now, isn't that a worldly thing? You know, a country might is measured by how many warships they have, how many submarines they have, how many aircraft carriers they have, how many fighter jets they have, how many this and how many that. And how much military might? Not if they have the blessing of God. Not if they are obedient to God and live righteously. You see, Satan moved him. God was very displeased, wasn't he? 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Number one. A proud look. What is a proud look? You know what is a proud look? Does anybody know what a proud look is? What's a proud look? Well, let's see. Mr. Myers, you're a dad. What's a proud look? If you say something to your son and he has a proud look, what does that mean?
All about self, I guess.
Proud look is, you can't tell me anything, Dad. Yeah? You can't tell me anything. I know it, Dad. Right? God, I don't need you. I dare you. I dare you, God, to prove to me that I need you. I think as we look at this whole scenario, we see Satan prompting at Eve, you know, be your own person. Get to the top. Be above God. Don't lower yourself and be under God's authority. You don't have to listen to God. You don't have to obey God. Be yourself. Be who you are. Rise up to the top. You know, I think there's such a thing as a pride of intellect. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct their paths. Now think about this if you're listening. What do you think about that person who says, I am just going to obey God? I am just going to obey what the Bible says. What do you think about that person? A lot of people think, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? As though they don't have any brains. Right? Pride of intellect. The pride of independence. Adam and Eve. Why? You are going to be under God? You're going to submit to God? You're going to be under His thumb? What kind of a foolishness is that? Be your own man! Pride of independence. Pride of independence. Get away from that authority. You know, isn't that the world's idea? Get away from that authority. All they're doing is holding you back. Be on your own. You know, the fact is, every person as they get older realized their dad was smarter than they thought. But the devil says, get away from that. Be your own man. Get out on your own. You know why? Because Satan is a destroyer. And he knows he can destroy anyone who gets away from authority. He knows it. Be your own man. Run from your authority and find your own authority. And then we have the pride of trusting yourself. You know, that's why we have this Bible. One of the reasons. Of course, the main truth of the Bible is the Lord Jesus. But you know what? Many people in this world will die in their sin. And have no idea. They needed Jesus. You see, because that's the sin of pride. We don't need God. And, you know, they go together. Pride of intellect. Pride of education. Man thinks that he's smart enough, he doesn't need God. Now, I'm not against education. I mean, I have 3 degrees. I have 8 years of education beyond high school. And it wasn't 2 years crammed into 8. But you know, there is such a thing as trusting in ourselves. There is such a thing as pride of intellect. It's such a thing as saying, hey, Adam and Eve, don't you have your own brains? Why would you submit to God when you can take that fruit and be like God or better? Trust in yourself. Don't trust in God. Now, we don't want to be too hard on Adam and Eve because every one of us are just like them. We are made of the same stuff as them. And if we'll be honest, we'll have to say, yeah, we struggle with the same things. But you know, we wouldn't know they were a struggle if the Bible didn't give us the truth. We'd be just lost in our deception, wouldn't they? So, where's the, what's the answer to this? Turn with me to James chapter 4 as we close. James chapter 4 verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, it's hard to understand that. But I understand the principle. The principle is this. There's a wall between God and man that pride brings on. There's a wall. We need God. But we can build a wall between us and God. You know, it's a sad thing, but you know, sometimes you know that there's nothing you can say to someone because they aren't going to listen. They got it all figured out. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What does humble mean? Humble means exactly what the devil says don't do. You mean you're going to be under God's thumb? You mean you're going to spend the rest of your life obeying God? You're going to spend the rest of your life being a nobody? Yeah. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Submit yourselves to God. The human heart says that's the last thing you want to do is submit to God. And you know what? Young person, adult, check. We need to check our spirit. We need to check our spirit. If we have that spirit of pride that says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I got to really figure this thing out because I'm going to be my own man. Submit yourselves to God. You know, the devil says, righteousness doesn't pay. You know that? The devil says righteousness doesn't pay. Why would you want to live the rest of your life living a holy life? Yeah, you know, it's exactly that way. Young lady, why would you want to live a holy life? How are you ever going to find a husband that way? You're going to find a husband being holy? Give me a break. Righteousness doesn't pay. Righteousness doesn't pay. David. Well, I mean, Asaph said this. He said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I said, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. David said, verily I've cleansed my heart in vain. Washed my hands in innocent, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Doesn't pay. It says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. God resisteth the proud, gives grace to the humble. Spiritual truth isn't understood by those who are depending upon their intellect, who are self-sufficient. You know, I think of this verse in the Bible, Matthew chapter 20. Verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. A servant. Jesus, don't go to the cross. Don't die. Don't give up your life. Hey, you can get the applause of men. I'll give you a shortcut. Does that appeal to your pride? Be a servant. Be a nobody. Reminds me of this last story. In the Middle East, I believe it was in Jordan. A young Muslim man came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, accepted him as his Lord and Savior. And he's looking for a church to go to. And of course you understand. You have to understand the culture. That in the Islamic religion, lying, anything is okay. If you can use it to advance your cause. And so he went to this church and he said to the pastor, he said, you know, I've been saved. And in fact, I think God's called me to be a preacher. And I would like to serve in your church. And I want to do something for God. And the preacher wisely said, I have a job for you. Now, if you understand Middle East culture, you really understand this one. Took him to the basement, and he took him to the toilets. He says, now your job is to clean these toilets. Now, you understand that culture, that's the lowest thing. Remember when the man threw a shoe at George W. Bush? You know, that was really a symbol of how they think. So the lowest possible job that would be in that culture to clean the toilets. And make a long story short, that was his job. I believe for 2 years. No, he wasn't teach a Sunday school class. Didn't go out preaching. Didn't sing in the choir. Didn't take the offering. Clean the toilets. It was a test of who he really was. If he was real, if he was genuine, if he really knew God. Jesus said, I'm the Son of Man. I deserve worship and glory. But I didn't come to get that. I came to serve. I came to be stomped under the foot of men. And to be hung on a cross and mocked and spit upon. I came to be brutalized by men mere men, wicked men. I came to die. I came to serve. If you want to be great, don't listen to Satan's plan. Listen to Jesus' example. You know, there's a lot of low-level jobs around here. A lot of low-level jobs. A lot of low-level jobs. And you know what? Some are thrilled to do them. Because they've caught the Spirit of Jesus. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. Everyone that exalts himself will be abased, Jesus said. But he that abaseth himself shall be exalted. You know, we're all made of the same stuff, aren't we? And Satan knows that. And he's very predictable. And he has one very, very effective tool. It's pride. It's pride. It's pride. You know, pride. I remember I was talking to a man, a friend of mine. I was going to seminary, and he said, you know, Ron, I don't do any sins. I'm really a good person. And he told me the whole story. And probably was a better person than me. But I said, you know what? You just are guilty of the biggest sin. Pride. Pride. You say, I don't need God? That's a pretty big sin. I don't need to come under God's authority? That's a pretty big sin. I'm going to live my own life? I don't need God? Pretty big sin. The devil's behind it. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God, and He'll lift you up. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God today. Oh Lord, we, as we think of David, we think of Judas, we realize that we just don't have hardly an idea of how much, Lord, so much that goes on in the world today, so many troubles, so many sins, so many problems are all rooted in pride. We'll never know, Lord. Only You know. And yet the tell words of pride are everywhere. Lord, in Your mercy, speak to our hearts. In Your mercy, Lord, help that precious soul that has a wall that won't let You penetrate. In Your mercy, speak to their heart, Lord. Help them see how Satan's pride has infected them. Lord, help us to see our own pride And may, Lord, you purge us from pride. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.